I gave you a bit of a preview, what we're going to be doing over the next few months. It all starts with that first step of faith, though. Faith or trusting is a foundational aspect of what we believe. I would call it a building block that we are to place right beside Yeshua, our chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is the first stone set in the construction of a masonry or foundation, important since all other stones will be set in reference to this stone. So if Yeshua is that first stone that's set on a foundation, and what is the foundation? Ephesians 2:20 says, "You have been built on the foundation of the emissaries and of the prophets, with the cornerstone being Yeshua the Messiah himself." This building block that sits right next to Yeshua, the next one that gets placed, is this building block of faith. It is significant in that without it, there is no structure. And with it only, there is no structural support. So when we look at James chapter 2 and verse 17, faith by itself, unaccompanied with action, is dead. You don't live by faith alone, even though you live by faith alone. Try to figure that one out. Scripture supports it, doesn't it? But in the same breath, saying, well, you just can't live by faith alone. Yaakov, James goes on. But foolish fellow, do you want to be shown that such faith apart from actions is barren? Wasn't Abraham Avinu, Abraham our father, declared righteous because of actions when he offered up his son Yitzhak, Isaac, on the altar? You see that his faith worked with his actions. By the actions, the faith was made complete. And the passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled, which says, Abraham had faith in God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness. He was even called God's friend. So faith without actions is barren, empty, meaningless. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, trusting or faith is being confident of what we hope for, yet convinced about things we do not see. Wrap your head around that for a minute. What do we hope for? We hope that everything that God said is true. Where's the evidence for us? It's in the scroll. It's on your iPads. It's in your Bibles. The evidence is there, yet you weren't there to see it. Everyone in this room who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah, you did not see him die. You did not see him resurrected. Yet you still believe. There are only a few that actually saw this. This is faith. And with all this, we must take that first step of faith. Go back to a minute. When did you take that first step of faith in acknowledging that Yeshua was the Messiah? You didn't have all the information, did you? You still took a step of faith. You had to take that first step. Then what happened? God showed you more. So today, I want to look at three instances where Adonai required a first step be taken in order for him to move. He's waiting for you. He's always waiting for you. He was waiting for you from the moment you were born, if not before then. Watch saying, well, when are they going to show up? But that first step of faith prompts God to move. There are many examples in Scripture of people taking that initial step of faith after receiving instruction from Adonai. We could look at Abram. His first step when Adonai's instructed him to leave his country and that of his kinsmen and go to a land that Adonai would show him. He had to take that first step before God could show him. He had to take that first step before God could move. Because he wasn't bringing the land to Abraham. Abraham had to go to the land. We could look at Yaakov when he took that first step of faith in reconciling with Esau. He didn't know what would happen after 20 years of separation and that Yaakov did not leave his brother on the best of terms. This is in Genesis 33, verses 1 through 4. Reading verses 3 and 4, then he himself passed on ahead of them, those that he left his family in essence to protect them. He prostrated himself on the ground 7 times before approaching his brother. He took the first step of reconciliation. Esau ran to meet him, hugged him, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. Yaakov took that first step. So there are many first steps. He took that first step of faith, not knowing if he would never see his family again. As I mentioned, he didn't leave Esau on the best of terms. He's thinking for 20 years, the next time I see my brother, he's going to kill me. There's not a deficiency of examples in Scripture of that first step. But the first thing I want you to keep in mind is that each step we take is a step of faith. But that we must always be willing to take that first step in order to walk into the promise. The promises are there. We've received the promises, but we have to walk into them in order to truly receive them. So let's go back into Exodus. Adonai has proclaimed to Moses, and Moses would proclaim to Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. Probably wondering, it's like, you talk a lot about Passover. We're getting another Passover message here. No. They were no longer to be the slaves of Egypt's vast kingdom. No more. In revealing his power and authority to Egypt and Israel, Adonai brings this world power to its knees in submission, ultimately breaking their will. Adonai had prepared the way for Israel to take that first step of faith. In Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 30, Pharaoh got up in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was horrendous wailing in Egypt, for there wasn't a single house without someone dead in it. He summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, up and leave my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve Adonai as you said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you said, and get out of here, but bless me too. So much could be said about this. The point that I'm getting at is he felt the power of the God of Moses. He felt the power of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wanted a piece of that, even though he was completely distraught. The Egyptians pressed to send the people out of the land quickly because they said, otherwise we'll all be dead. The people took their dough before it had become leavened, wrapped their kneading bowls in their clothes on their shoulders. The people of Israel had done what Moses had said. They had asked the Egyptians to give them silver, gold, jewelry, and clothing. And Adonai had made the Egyptians so favorably disposed toward the people that they had let them have whatever they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So there's a first step before that actual literal first step. That first step was that they had to listen to God and say, okay, we're going to take a lamb, we're going to kill it, we're going to take its blood, we're going to apply it to the doorpost of our house, and we're going to wait. That was a step before the first step, so to speak. So what happened? The chains had been broken from Israel. They were free. Yet in order to truly become free, they had to take that first step of faith and leave. They were to leave the only way of life they had known. This new way of life, freedom from human oppression, would be challenging, and the struggles to live in freedom would directly confront them. If you don't know what freedom is and then you're confronted by it, we take it for granted. Yet people who have never experienced freedom have no idea, because everything is structured. It's done. Why do you think that there is so much recidivism when people basically commit another crime after being in jail because it's the only life they've known? They haven't been fully rehabilitated and prepared for life outside of captivity, so to speak. They were to leave the only way of life they had known. This new way of life, freedom from human oppression, would be challenging, and the struggles to live in freedom would directly confront them. Israel had been under the control of others for so long. They had no concept of what it meant to be free. They had no concept of Adonai and the mercy he provides. All of this is new to them. Just as Yeshua was new to you at one point in time. Yet not knowing everything fully, you still took that first step. Today, a vast number of people throughout the world do not live in freedom. They do not have liberty. Keeping in mind, liberty does not mean you can do anything you want. There are boundaries, just as Adonai would set boundaries for Israel at Sinai. Yet these boundaries were set for the purpose of maintaining that liberty, not to suppress it. And we read further in Exodus chapter 12, the people of Israel traveled from Ramses to Sukkot, some 600,000 men on foot, not counting children. All the people of Israel did just as Adonai had ordered Moses and Aaron. On that very day, Adonai brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their divisions, tribe by tribe, so to speak. So what can we say about Exodus chapter 12? That initial step of faith accomplished. Yet there were steps of faith required by Adonai prior to Israel leaving Egypt. But it was the first step whereby they left Egypt that they would truly experience freedom through action. Faith without action is barren. Freedom without leaving is not freedom. You're still in your captive's camp, so to speak. Yet, believe it or not, Israel was actually free when Adonai proclaimed the following. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am Adonai. I will free you from the forced labor of the Egyptians, rescue you from their oppression, and redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. He said he was going to do this. He's never gone back on his word to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, and he wasn't about to start that with Moses. So whenever God speaks something, anticipate that it's going to be true. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am Adonai, your God, who freed you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. This was done according to Adonai, yet not realized, at least from the perspective of Israel, until they would take that first step of faith, where they truly believed that they were free and confirming the word of God to be true. So when Adonai says something, we're to take him at his word. I've asked people who are struggling in their faith, who aren't certain if they've truly been redeemed by God or not. Do you trust God? It's the first question I ask them. I might get a hesitant yes. If it's no, then we have to go a different route. If they answer yes, if you trust God, then by default you have to trust his word. What is documented for us, what he said originally and what we have as a transcript. You can't say you believe God and you don't believe his word. Those two just cannot cohabitate in your mind together. Yet for many they do. So when Adonai says, ultimately we are to respond, he's waiting for us to respond to him. Once we respond to him, his word, mighty things happen. I would say everybody in this room has had that experience before. When God says something and you take that first step of faith, prayers are answered. People are healed. Provisions are made. Doors are broken down or opened. Yet upon leaving Egypt, Adonai leads Israel away from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 14, remember they took that first step of faith saying, leave, get up and leave. They left. Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Adonai said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn around and set up camp in front of Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea in front of Baal Zephon, camp opposite by the sea. He's saying, go over here, set up camp. So on one side, they have their back to the sea, the Red Sea. On the other side is just Egypt over on the other side. So in other words, they have their back up against the water, so to speak, not their back up against the wall. Verse 3, then Pharaoh will say that the people of Israel are wandering aimlessly in the countryside. The desert has closed in on them. Then verse 4, Adonai says, I will make Pharaoh so hard-hearted that he will pursue them. Thus, I will win glory for myself at the expense of Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will realize at last that I am Adonai. The people did as ordered. They took that step. They camped. They're right by the water. Probably a nice view. Nice breeze coming off the Red Sea, cooling them off at nighttime. Unfortunately, we're not that close to the water here. The children of Israel had just experienced the power of Adonai through the Passover, resulting in the Exodus from Egypt. What more could he possibly do? Notice again, Adonai spoke his word, the word to Moses, who conveyed it to the people. There's a pattern going on here. They set up camp, ultimately waiting for Egypt to encounter them. Can anybody say sitting ducks? Keeping in mind, ducks do float on water, so it wouldn't have been an issue. So probably not the best analogy. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and saw the Egyptians right there coming after them. In great fear, the people of Israel cried out to Adonai. Great fear. You see your captives coming to take you back. I can only imagine what it looked like. Maybe there were 600 chariots. Maybe there was this big dust storm that they could see on the horizon. So they knew it was them. And he said to Moses, was it because there weren't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out to die in the desert? Why have you done this to us, bringing us out of Egypt? In other words, the people are saying, they're speaking in fear. God just performed miraculous things to deliver them. And now all of a sudden, it's like, well, I guess that's it. It was nice knowing you. See you in Sheol or wherever it might be. And then they continue, the people, didn't we tell you in Egypt to let us alone? We'll just go on being slaves for the Egyptians. It would be better for us to be the Egyptian slaves than to die in the desert. How many believers settle for what they're experiencing right now as opposed to what more could occur have they take that next first step? Upon seeing them, Egypt, the reality set in for the people. Faith and fear cannot reside together, as I shared earlier. Fear ultimately undermines faith, as it was doing right here. Verses 13 through 15, Moses answered the people, "Stop being so fearful. Remain steady, and you will see how Adonai is going to save you. He will do it today. Today you have seen the Egyptians, but you will never see them again. Adonai will do battle for you. Just calm yourselves down." Adonai asked Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." Here is that next step of faith. They're camped by the water. Go forward. Yet look at the steps of verses 13 and 14. Scripture tells us, don't be afraid. Stop being fearful. And if he did battle for Israel, doesn't he do battle for us? Keeping in mind, we are part of his army. And as a soldier, we're required to do what we're ordered to do. Moses ultimately had to calm the people down. He had to reassure them. Sounds like the role of a rabbi. Calm down. It's not that bad. What does Scripture say? What does God say? He had to calm them down and reassure them before they even take that next first step of faith. Because what's happening? Their faith is undermined if they take that next step. It's like, well, we're going to die. Israel was truly free. Yet their oppressors still continue to pursue them. Can anyone relate to such a situation? The adversary, maybe. You've been free from the bondage of sin. Yet the adversary is still trying to bring you back to Egypt. God has set you free from the land of Egypt. Adonai required the people to move forward, in this case towards the Red Sea. Not to the left, not to the right. Well, maybe if we go up this way, we can outrun them. No. He did not tell them to go towards the Egyptians either, which would constitute going back. But he told them to move forward in what would appear to be a dead end. As they move forward, Adonai instructs Moses, "Lift your staff, reach out with your hand over the sea and divide it in two. The people of Israel will advance into the sea on dry ground." I shared with you Exodus 6:6 and 6:7, where he says, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm." I can see God doing this with the sea. But he was waiting for Moses to lift his staff. He was waiting for the people to move forward. He was waiting on them. Think of it this way. Is he waiting on you to do something as well? He's not going to do it for you. So in order for this to happen, Adonai required the people to take the first step of faith. And Moses to lift up his staff. Let's go back to Hebrews 11:1 again. Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see. Moses had to calm the people's nerves. Yet I don't believe they were truly confident. But who was the confident one here? Moses. As Moses lifted his staff, the sea parted. The people's confidence grew because their lack of faith, they did not see the water parting. They didn't, most certainly didn't see a dry ground that they would walk on. Faith comes by hearing, but faith also comes by seeing. They lacked confidence yet hoped for escape, which at the moment they did not see. So how is this possible? What is Adonai going to do? The sea is in front of them, and Egypt is behind them. They're in essence the filling of a sandwich. Verse 15, Adonai said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the people of Israel to move forward." Again, there are many examples in Scripture about moving forward. Looking back is the past. Forward is hope and future. Forward is your salvation. Because time doesn't go back. Time only goes in one direction. It goes forward. Adonai wanted them to take that first step of faith in order for them to build their trust within Him. Notice what happens here. Verses 17 through 20. "As for me, I will make the Egyptians hard-hearted, and they will march in after them. Thus I will win glory for myself at the expense of Pharaoh and all his army, chariots, and cavalry. Then the Egyptians will realize that I am Adonai when I have won myself glory at the expense of Pharaoh, his chariot, and his cavalry." Next, the angel of Adonai, who was going ahead of the camp, moved away and went behind them. And the column of cloud moved away from the front of them and stood behind them. Now what do you have? You have Egypt approaching them, Israel by the water, God going in between them. And what happened? It stationed itself. The cloud stationed itself between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. There was cloud and darkness here, but light by night there. So there was light on the side where Israel was, but on the other side of the cloud it was dark. So in other words, the pillar of light in the cloud at night shone towards the water, but it was dark on the other side. Ultimately, Adonai provided protection all night long for Israel as they took that first step in moving towards the water. So Adonai instructed them further in verse 21 and 22. Moses reached his hand out over the sea, and Adonai caused the sea to go back before a strong east wind all night. He made the sea become dry land, and its water was divided in two. Then the people of Israel went into the sea on dry ground with the water walled up for them on the right and on the left. Again, could Adonai have done this without the first step of faith? Yes. Yet if Adonai was to do everything for you without any required action on your part, how faithful would you truly be? It is through our action that we build our faith. It is through action that we learn. And this action also includes seeing, as I mentioned earlier. Ultimately, the battle is Adonai's, and yet He wants you to be an active participant. Active so you can rejoice in His victory with Him. The third example I want to share with you is similar to the one that I just shared. And it's in Joshua chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, Joshua got up early in the morning, and they left Shittim and came to the Jordan. He, with all the people of Israel, they camped there before crossing. After 3 days, the officials circulated through the camp and gave the people these orders. When you see the ark of the covenant of Adonai your God and the Kohanim, who are the Levites, carrying it, you are to leave your position and follow it. So here's the first step of faith, but it's not the first step of faith that I'm going to talk about. But keep a distance between yourselves and it of about 1,000 yards. Don't come any closer, so that you will understand which way to go, because you haven't gone this way before. God is their GPS. How many of us pray that we're going in the right direction? Have you ever laid hands on your GPS before? You don't even have to lay hands on Adonai here. So, here's the first step of faith that Adonai is requiring of the people, a new generation, that the vast majority present did not experience the parting of the Red Sea some 40 years prior. And in this case, it's another camping trip by the water. 40 years of wandering through the desert, and Adonai is conveying to Joshua that they will be taking a new path, one they have never traveled before. In the Sinai Desert, there's only so many paths you can take. Yet I believe God was in essence saying, whatever this path was, there was likely a road closed sign there. Now the road closed has been opened. In verse 5, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow Adonai is going to work wonders among you. So if he's going to work wonders among you, doesn't he want you to be part of it? In other words, you're not a passive spectator, but you're an active participant. And these are the words conveyed by Adonai to Joshua. Now you are to order the Kohanim carrying the ark for the covenant as follows. When you come to the edge of the Jordan, you are to stop in the Jordan itself. And what Joshua conveyed to the people of Israel is as follows. Come here and listen to the words of Adonai your God. Then Joshua said, here is how you will know that the living God is here with you, and that without fail he will drive out from before you all the people of the land the ark of the covenant, verse 11, of the Lord of all the earth is going on ahead of you across the Jordan. Now choose yourselves 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. As soon as the Kohanim carrying the ark of Adonai, the Lord of all the earth, put the soles of their feet in the water of the Jordan, the water of the Jordan will be cut off upstream and stand piled up like an embankment. So the people left their tents to cross the Jordan with the Kohanim carrying the ark of the covenant ahead of the people. So now you have that first step of faith of the Kohanim, the ones carrying the ark. They were instructed to come to the bank, and that when they put their foot in the water would separate and it would be like an embankment. In other words, it would be like a dam, except there is no dam. So what happened? Verse 17, the Kohanim carrying the ark of the covenant of Adonai stood fast on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Here you have the second example of an action, a step of faith was required before anything else, before God doing anything. In this case, now we're talking about the Kohanim carrying the ark. What is the ark? What's contained in the ark but the covenant of God? What is the covenant of God but the promises that God made to Israel? So if he made these promises and he doesn't go back on his word, which means he can't lie, then whatever he does or says has to be true. So by taking that first step, they're in essence taking the covenant with them. All the promises of God are with them, and God acts on the faithfulness of his people. So there's multiple first steps of faith occurring here. Step of faith of the people to get up and approach the Jordan. Then you have the first step of faith of the Kohanim, that when they actually stepped in the water, the flow of the Jordan ceased, and just as had occurred 40 years prior, Israel crossed another body of water on dry ground. Anybody ever watch the tide go out? Other than the clam flats, are there any dry ground when the tide goes out? Because typically, at its apex, it's out there for 6 hours. So there's a portion of ground that has a chance to dry. Yet you may see a little dryness on the surface, but underneath is just thick muck. So in all these examples, Adonai could have done what he was going to do, but he didn't. He wanted our participation. It was through our participation that we took these initial steps of faith, and in doing so, Adonai responded. So faith is not something you acquire and then don't have to do anything further once you have it. Faith is like a muscle. It requires a continuous workout in order to first become strengthened and then to maintain that strength. Let's look at Kepha for a minute in Matthew 24. So it was around 4 o'clock in the morning, Matthew 14:25. He came toward them walking on the lake. This is Yeshua. When the Talmidim saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said and screamed with fear. Here you have this fear again. We tend to be fearful people when we don't understand, when we don't understand what we're seeing. But at once Yeshua spoke to them, courage. What did Moses do? Calm down. Yeshua, calm down. And he said, it's I. Stop being afraid. Sound familiar? People of Israel, stop being afraid. But at once Yeshua spoke to them, let me go forward. Then Kepha called to him, verse 28, Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you on the water. He makes the proclamation. He says, if it's really you, tell me to come on the water. He had to take that first step of faith. Come, he said. So Kepha got out of the boat and walked on the water toward Yeshua. Anyone ever try that? Kepha took that first step of faith. God said, come. Kepha came. Going toward Yeshua, walking on water as his Lord was doing. And then verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he became afraid. And as he began to sink, he yelled, Lord, save me. What did he do? He saw the wind. You see the results of the wind. Technically, you don't see the wind. But he took his eyes off Yeshua. And in essence, his faith was on Yeshua, but his faith didn't reside in him. Yeshua immediately stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, such little trust, such little faith, why did you doubt? As they went up into the boat, the wind ceased. What was the wind here but a test for Kepha? Focus on me regardless of the circumstances around you. The men in the boat fell down before him and exclaimed, you really are God's son. So just when you think that your faith has reached full maturity, it is tested, whereby you find out your faith isn't as strong as you thought it was. Yet it is through that testing our faith is strengthened. So when that test comes, and believe me, it will, whether Adonai is stretching you to grow and is preparing you for the next phase in your journey, that next first step of faith, or the adversary is trying to defeat you, know that this is an endurance race, not a sprint. Think big picture. Think long term. Think many building blocks of faith to go with that cornerstone. Remember what drew you to accept Yeshua in the first place. Then build upon that. The promise is the same today as it was then. Adonai did not change when you first came to trust, did he? His word is still true today as it was when you first heard it, when you first received it. The challenges for the body of Messiah are only getting harder. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. At that time, many will be trapped into betraying and hating each other. Many false prophets will appear and fool many people. And many people's love will grow cold because of increased distance from Torah. But whoever holds out till the end will be delivered. Whoever endures to the end, whoever completes the race. So don't take your focus off the word of Adonai and the promises they contain. Yeshua conveyed this warning to his Talmidim. What was true then is still true today. Pay attention to and learn from the many examples of faith conveyed by Adonai throughout his word that is with us today. And keeping in mind, I just shared three with you, actually four. So whoever trusts in Yeshua will endure through all these challenges. They will finish the race. The question is, are you one of they? We still got a long way to go. And yes, it would be, I shouldn't say it. We have a long way to go and a short time to get there. So if everybody will please rise.